These are the sounds of the hospital in Minang, the capital of Kuanda Kabongo province, 800 kilometers, about 500 miles southeast of Luanda. The patients here, and the most numerous of Angola's war victims, are children. Going back over hospital records, a doctor uses a pocket calculator to tally the dead. He says that between January and September of this year, 289 children died in these grim wards, mostly of hunger and malnutrition. Many of the children lie on filthy blankets on concrete floors. Many more have died at home. Parents in Minang knew the hospital had nothing to offer. A few weeks ago, UNITA rebels began allowing relief agencies to resume their flights of emergency food. For many, it's too late and too little. Since the war started again a year ago, Minang's population has more than doubled. 80,000 civilians, once farmers, truck drivers, university teachers, and students, now survive on the meager deliveries of rice and cooking oil flown in when the relief agencies can get permission from two warring armies. In a temporary base camp near Minang's hospital, a nurse and a technician of the Paris-based Médecins Sans Frontières huddle around the VHF radio for the nightly link to Luanda, hoping to hear that a flight will leave the capital in the morning with badly needed supplies.
Okay, bien reçu.
Luanda says the flight is canceled, no reason given, so the relief workers will spend the day setting up their mission, but with nothing to distribute. During UNITA's nine-month blockade, civilians in many areas got no food at all. In cities like Quito, they survived by eating dogs, cats, and rats, even the leaves off the trees. Joseph Schreiber of the American Embassy in Luanda describes a relief agency report from the town of Quito Bia.
80% of the population would have some form of wound, shrapnel, or grazed by a bullet. The average body weight was probably 80% of normal. So it's a desperate situation for the civilians in those areas.
As in many recent wars, civilians are frequently used as bargaining chips by the warring parties. Dr. Martin Guyot is the project coordinator in Kuanda Kabongo for Médecins Sans Frontières. Agencies supply food to civilians in both MPLA and UNITA areas, and she says every flight has to be negotiated.
Our biggest problem is the access to the civilian population. Access to the population we want to help. All the effort is done in direction of the war.
In Angola, the most vicious weapon, apart from starvation, is the landmine. Cheap, easy to plant, and hard to detect, mines wreak most of their havoc among civilians who are not trained to spot them. 18-year-old Dominguez Manuel is a typical victim. Walking from her home in Minang to a nearby town in search of food, she stepped on an anti-personnel mine. The explosion took off her right leg below the knee. An estimated 9 million landmines have been sown across this country of 10.5 million people, and mines have brought Angolan agriculture to a standstill. The village of Misambo, 40 kilometers or 25 miles south of Minang, was the site of a Portuguese prison before Angola's independence in 1975. Now it's a prison of another kind. Hundreds of people queue up under the broiling midday sun for their weekly ration of rice and cooking oil supplied by the United Nations World Food Program. Misambo villagers say it's barely enough to keep them alive. Ironically, this is some of Angola's best farm country, dark, rich bottomland along the Cuebe River. The rains have come, ending a long drought. But the land is useless now, so strewn with UNITA landmines that farmers stay away from their fields. Many say that's what the rebels intended. The rural economy is crippled, and in villages like Misambo, crutches are more common than garden tools. Once able farmers, now dependent on handouts from America and Europe. Getting the aid to places like Minang and Misambo is a tough proposition. If either the MPLA or UNITA balks at a flight going to the other side, 17 tons of rice sits on the tarmac instead of going to a desperate village. There are logistical problems too. Although Angola is rich in oil and gas, it has to import jet fuel. Today, a fuel shortage at Luanda Airport is holding up several flights.
If we don't get fuel this afternoon and tomorrow, we have to cancel all flights for tomorrow and Saturday. And then we will see for Monday. And of course, this is very bad for us.
Jansa Sorman is flight coordinator for the UN's World Food Program. He spends much of his time browbeating airport officials for jet fuel and the required paperwork. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and for safety reasons, airplanes do not fly at night. This Russian plane is scheduled for the city of Melange, another city urgently needing its cargo of beans and corn.
Here we have a truck, you know, we see if it stops. Yeah, it seems to get some fuel here now. We need 6 tons, and we will have it now.
The Antonov 12 takes on 8,000 liters, and before the ground crew even have the gas cap screwed on, the Russian pilots are cranking the engines. Minutes before departure deadline, the cargo plane roars off Luanda runway. A small child squats alone in a dark hallway in Minong Hospital, ignored by the other refugees who have their own problems. Angola's conflict has been called the world's forgotten war, even though it's displaced 3 million civilians and created 250,000 orphans. After a 9-month siege, the aid now reaching this remote corner of Angola is never quite enough. For the Christian Science Monitor, this is Philip Winslow reporting from Minong.